church is dismissed, all those kiddos between kindergarten up to fifth grade, you can make your way across the way. We got something special just for you. The rest of you, grab your Bibles, please. The book of Joshua. Joshua chapter 4. Joshua chapter 4. And in here, as we started talking about Joshua and the idea of remembering and forgetting. Remembering and forgetting. How many of you guys here have excellent memories? I'm just curious. How many of you guys have excellent memories? I don't see too many hands. How many of you find yourself more forgetful as time goes by? All right. Actually, my rememberer doesn't work too well oftentimes, and sometimes it's a frustration to my wife because she'll say, "Remember not to forget." How's that work for you? Remember not to forget, right? And for a while there, you know, people, they all put a little string around your finger. And I remember the string, but I can't remember what it was there for, right? And then for a while, I was like, I'll do 3x5 cards. Right? You ever seen people do that? You know, write, jot things on 3x5 cards. And the problem is I lose the 3x5 card. So in here is what I'm supposed to do is, but I can't find the card that tells me what I'm supposed to do. So forgetting and remembering. And it's interesting how this all works because, like I said, I'll use myself. I can't remember I'm supposed to go to the grocery store and get something. Right? It just totally, or actually I'm bad because I walk into the store and walk out with 5 things that I never purposely go in, and I don't get the one thing I was told to get, right? How does that work? Right? Turn around. I love games like Trivia Pursuit and these trivia games. I do really well at that. I can remember worthless information. Right? But I can't remember some of the vital things. How does that work, right? And in life, sometimes it's so easy to hang on to things that we should be forgetting. I remember years ago having someone very upset with me. And I said, please forgive me. And their response was, "That's fine, I'll bury the hatchet." I said, "Good." He goes, "But I'm going to put a big X on it so I know where to dig it back up again." Ooh, okay. Right? I'll remember the grudge. I remember... Actually, it's funny. I've talked with people who are angry and upset with people or with churches and all that. They remember the anger, but they can't remember why. Because of something. I can't remember what it was, but it was bad. Right? I'll hang on to that anger. That heartache. And sometimes when we look at life, we forget the blessings and we forget looking at the positives. You know? Go on a wonderful trip. Well, yeah, I locked the keys out of the car. Well, that was only once, but the rest of the trip was great. What do you tend to remember? You locked the keys out of the car, right? You don't remember all the good stuff. We get disproportionate in our memories. And the Lord knows that we're forgetful. And in here, He instituted various things for us to remember. He talked about baptism, that we remember His death, burial, His resurrection. He instituted the Lord's Supper, that this is His body, which is done for you. Do this in remembrance of me. This is His blood, and this is His body. Remember, because we forget oftentimes. In Joshua chapter 4, we have some interesting events. We step on through. I just want to give you just a little bit of background as we get into what he's talking about here. Israel right now is at the River Jordan. Now, you Bible scholars who know your Old Testament, you know how this story goes, so just indulge me for a little bit as I play catch up here. Israel, remember, they're slaves in Egypt. And Moses went down. You all saw the movie, "Let My People Go." And in here, God delivered Israel from the Egyptians. They came to the Red Sea, part of the Red Sea. They come across. and they come up to Mount Sinai. There God gives them the Ten Commandments. God says, look, I have a land for you. A land of promise. And in here, God leads them, and they come to the Jordan River, and they come to this point, and they send out 12 spies to go check out the land. And they go out and explore this new land that God is going to give them, but there's people there, and God says, you're going to have to go out there, and you're going to have to fight for it, but don't worry, I'll be with you. So the spies come back and give a report. Two of them, Joshua and Caleb, are excited. They come back and says, you won't believe the bounty that God has given us over there. It's a land flowing with milk and honey. Which I guess is a good thing. It just sounds sticky to me. But, you know, it's flowing with milk and honey. It's overflowing. The crops, the land is great. The grapes are just busting off the vine. It's amazing what God has in store for us. Let's go get it. Well, 10 of the spies were like, hold on, guys. You know what? There's a lot of enemies over there. And there's giants over there, too. They're so big that we're like little grasshoppers in their sight. I don't know if we can do this. And Israel decided, well, I don't know. And God was very upset with them. Because this is the land I'm giving you. And because you guys listened to the 10 spies who doubted, because you're going to wander for 40 years in the wilderness. 40 years. And that's exactly what they did. Actually, they wandered so much that all those that were over the fighting age all died in the wilderness, not seeing the promise. All those that rejected, they never saw it. In the meanwhile, Moses was instructed by God. The first time was to strike a rock and water came out. And the second time he was supposed to speak to it. But out of his frustration, he hit the rock twice and God said, hey, you got to listen to me. And he goes, Moses, as a punishment, you're not going to go see the promised land. So fast forward 40 years later, now Joshua is in charge. He was one of the spies that went out and said, hey, this is good. And they come up through the Jordan River, and this time of year, they come up through and God talks to Joshua. That brings us where we are today. He goes, I'm going to do a miraculous thing. He goes, we're going to part the waters. Now, remember I told you to go to chapter 4? I want you to just back up to chapter 3, just for a smidge, if you will. Because as they lead up through, there's a problem standing in the way. They come to the Jordan. I want to take a look at verse 15. It says, those who bore the ark came to the Jordan, and the feet of the priests who bore the ark dipped in the edge of the water, for the Jordan overflowed all its banks during the whole time of harvest. That during this time of year, the Jordan River wasn't a tame, little, trickling little thing. They said, oh, we got to just kind of get our feet wet to get across. That at this point, the floodwaters, all the snow in the mountains had melted, in here the water was raging, and so they came down to a scene of this raging, roaring river. How are we going to get across? How are we going to get across? And God provided a way. He goes, what I want you to do is have the priest carry the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant represented the presence of God. This was when they set up the tabernacle, which was their church in the wilderness. In here, when it was all set up, they brought the covenant, the Ark of the Covenant in, and the presence of the Lord came in through there. It's a reminder that God is with you. He says, look, when the priests come down to the waters, as their feet go in, God says, I am going to part the waters. I'm going to stop it. The water that's upstream is going to go up into a heap, the Bible says. Then once the land is dry, you're able to cross over. Does this sound kind of familiar? Back up 40 years. Isn't that what God did for Moses? And I find it interesting that, you know, here Israel had followed Moses for 40 years. And now there's this young guy, Joshua, in charge. Now, those are big shoes or sandals to fill. And I think God wanted to show Joshua and show the people, I'm with you, just like I was with Moses. So he's going to recreate sort of the mini Red Sea, because I'm going to part the waters. And when we do this, it's going to be an amazing feat. And you're able to go across into the promised land. Find me, and I am with you. Joshua chapter 4, please. So picture the scene. The water is parted up. Right? They didn't hear the water's up. There's a wall now because the water is all heaped up. God, I don't know if God just put his hand and went like this and blocked it. I don't know. But he says, look, as the Israelites are walking through, I want you to do something. Verse 6 and verse 7. And this may be a sign among you when your children ask in time, what do these stones mean? See, what they were supposed to do as they crossed over was to take stones out of the river. He says, look, I want each of the tribes, there's 12, each of you have one guy in the middle of Oath Saul, grab a stone and take it with you. That's odd. See, God knows that we're forgetful. Because I want you to remember this event, and what I want you to do is use a stone to remember this by. Does anyone have a rock collection? Anyone like to collect rocks? My oldest daughter loved to collect rocks. Now, they were nothing special. They were just rocks she thought she would... Right? And I didn't realize we were in a place and we were getting ready to move. I knew she picked up rocks. Kids pick up rocks. And we were moving. And she goes, Dad, I need your help. I said, okay, why? She goes, I can't pick up this box. So I go into her room and she's got this box full of rocks. And I'm like, what are this? She goes, this is my rock collection. I'm like, honey, we're moving halfway across the country. You don't need all these rocks. And she's like, these are special. And she goes, I got this one out in front of this person's house, and I got this one. And each rock had a memory of where she got it. And me being the sensitive father that I am, I told her, honey, just pick one or two. I said, we take all these rocks, you know, they're going to charge us property tax for as many rocks as we have here. And so, in tears, she had a hard time picking. She goes, but they're all, each rock brought back a memory of what. And I was just mean, and I said, just pick a couple. So she did. She just picked a couple, and then we ceremoniously went down and dumped the rest in the backyard. And so in light of this, Joshua is saying, look, so this is a sign among you when your children ask in time come, saying, what do these stones mean? See, they took them. Then you shall answer them, that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. And when it crossed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial to the children of Israel forever. They were to take these stones, and where they were spending the night that night, they were to take them and pile them up. Pile of 12 stones, one for each tribe. He goes, look, I want you to do this because people are going to come up and ask, why you guys got a bunch of rocks? Why is this here? And he goes, look, I want you to be able to say, because this is the event I want you to remember. As I mentioned, we live out on Cemetery Street. And this week, there's been lots of cars coming up through. The town or the caretakers have been out there diligently for the past couple weeks, trimming the grass, taking care of the flowers, so it looks nice. That people can come up, find a stone of a relative or of a friend, and just spend some time. Now, you and I both know that the person isn't there. The Bible clearly says to be absent from the body is being present with the Lord. But to be there and look at the stone remind you of so much. What are the meanings of these stones? We moved in the town. We lived next door to a cemetery. We're like, oh, okay, let's go check them out. So we went out and checked out the stones. And it's amazing the story that's told. That many were sea captains who never made it home. Lost at sea. There were stones of children who were only a few years old. Some had lived a long life. Many were together with their spouse. All these stories. What are the meanings of these stones? In Joshua here, the Lord wanted him to remember. Here's a pile of stones. What does it mean? Well, this morning what I want to do is turn around and look at this idea of remembering and forgetting. I got three things, I think, from this passage that will help us to remember to remember. Something to keep our eyes and focus upon in this life. Now, you got three things. I'm a pastor, so this is what I do. You got three things that says we're supposed to remember. Guess what? I got three things that we're supposed to forget. This list isn't inclusive. This isn't everything. But there's things that the Lord brought to mind for me this morning. Turn back to Joshua chapter 3, please. As they're preparing to go over, God says some very interesting things for them to remember. Look at verse 10. Joshua chapter 3, verse 10. It says, "And Joshua said, 'By this you shall know that the living God is among you, and that He will, without fail, drive out from before you the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, the Girgashites, and the Amorites, and the Jebusites.'" Here we come down through, and God's going to do something. I want you to remember what God is going to do. The first thing is, look, that the living God is here. Verse 10, the first part. "By this you should know the living God is among you." Can I tell you, I want you to remember, no matter what happens in your life, that God is there. We have His promise on high that I will never leave you nor forsake you. God is not ever far away. Now, on our side of things, sometimes the cloud seems pretty thick. The fog sits in, and God, where are you? Have you ever gone through your life and wondered, okay, God, what are you doing? Where'd you go? God will never leave you nor forsake you. The hand of the living God is with you. Don't forget. As Israel was going in, they're going to have to do some fighting, and there's problems along the way. But never doubt for a minute that God is with you. The presence of the Lord is present. What a comfort that is. It's interesting, Peter once was walking out on the water. And as he's walking out, he looks at the waves and sees, and he gets nervous, he gets scared, he starts going down. And he's like, "Lord, help me! Where are you, God? Where are you?" And the Bible says immediately Jesus reached out and held his hand. God's ever near. His hand is not far. And it's not dependent on how I feel. It doesn't matter what I do. God promises or God's promises. Don't ever forget the presence of God in your life. Second thing I want to look at. Once again in verse 10. It says, look, Joshua said, "By this you shall know that the living God is among you, that He will without fail drive out from before you." And he lists all the enemies in his life that they're going to face. I don't know the enemies that you face in your life. Sometimes they're peoples, right? Yeah, that person. Right? Maybe they're circumstances Right? Maybe your enemy isn't a person, but it's a thing. Maybe it's a circumstance in your life that you have no control over. Maybe it's finances that's going on. Maybe some of you are aging. Some of it's health. All these issues, these enemies that are out and about us, right? We know the presence of God is there, but don't often doubt that God will provide. God's provision. Right, Joshua? People, as you go out there and you're fighting the enemy, and you're battling day by day, God will provide. Can I tell you something? God will not ask you to do something that He won't provide you the strength to do. Right? It's not like, okay, you know what? This is what the Bible wants me to do. God, this is what you want me to do. I'm going to head out and I'm going to do it. And all of a sudden I get out there, it's like, uh-oh, I'm in trouble. And God's like, oh yeah, I forgot. No, right? God knows what He's doing. He knows the beginning from the end. God already knows how it's going to work out. I don't. You know, when I was younger, I used to think, God, just give me a heads up. Right? God, let me know what's going to happen. I've changed my mind. Right? Because now I look back in my life, I'm like, you know what? I'm glad I didn't know this was coming. Right? Because I would have gave up before I even started. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Lord, give me enough for today. God will provide. And it may not be what you think, right? You might think you might need finances, but maybe God is working on you than something else. Or maybe what you need is God's mercy and God's grace. The Apostle Paul had an affliction, and three times he said, God, take it away. And he said, my grace is sufficient for you. The Lord will meet your need. His provision, don't forget. The last thing I want to look at, verse 13. And it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of your feet of the priest shall bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth shall rest in the waters of the Jordan, that the waters of the Jordan shall be cut off, the waters that come down from upstream, and they shall stand as a heap. Now, I hope God has some kind of DVR in heaven. Because there's a lot of events that I've read about in the Scriptures that I would really love to see play out. Right? You know, I would like to see the creation of how God made everything. You know, I don't know if there's a big IMAX in heaven. I don't know. You know, I would love to see the parting of the Red Sea. I'd like to see this. As they come across this raging river, right? All this violence, all this chaos. And in the midst of all this, God just says, hold it. And the water that's coming down just piles up and stays there. That's awesome, folks. And Israel is able to walk across. Can I tell you something? No matter what violence and chaos is going on in your life, how raging the river seems to be in your life, or what's going on, God is more powerful than that. And with God's Word, you can just say, hold on. Just hold on. Let me ask you something. Is God any less powerful today than He was then? No. You know, it's not like when I come to God and say, God, help me! That God looks down and says, oh, I'm sorry. I used up all my power back on that Red Sea thing. Right? That doesn't work that way. Right? He's still the same God. And the God that can part the Jordan, the same God is working in your life. Don't ever forget that. There's no circumstances that is too hard for God. There's nothing that's too complicated that God can't work out. Don't ever forget that. Then Joshua does something that God didn't really ask him to do. At least it's not recorded. So picture the scene, right? The priests are in the water, hanging onto the Ark of the Covenant. The water's piling up in a big heap. Israelites are kind of scooting across. And in the middle of all of this, verse 9 in chapter 4, it says, "And Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of the Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priests who bore the Ark of the Covenant stood. And they are there to this day." Now remember, they were supposed to take a stone and pile them up where they were camping that night. Those were stones of remembrance. Then Joshua took 12 stones and placed them in the waters. And then as the priest walked out of the water, a big heap of water came down and what? Buried those 12 stones. And he says, they're still there. I want to propose to you that I believe with all my heart that God wants us to remember, right? Remember the presence of God. Remember the provisions of God. And remember the power of God. Don't ever forget those things. But I believe those 12 stones were placed in the river and buried forever, because I think these are stones of forgetfulness. There are things to leave behind in this world. Can I tell you something? The first thing I want to look at? Leaving the past, past sins. You know, the older I get, the more regrets I have. I know you don't have to wrestle with that. All the woulda, coulda, shouldas. The things I've done that I don't want anyone to know. Maybe the life I live, the choices I made. Israel, throughout, you read the book of Exodus, as they're traveling through the wilderness, they sinned. They got angry with God. They got impatient with God. In here, they set up idols to worship. They did turn around and rebelled against Moses, his leader that God had given them. Even when the Ten Commandments were given, they broke them before they even got them. Isaiah gives us a wonderful passage. He says, "And I, even I, how about the Lord, am He who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins." Come, let us reason together, the Scripture says. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That, folks, we don't have to be defined by our sins. Jesus paid for it all. All the shame and reproach that we carry from our past, we can lay that down at the cross of Jesus Christ. And Jesus paid it all. And all to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Folks, don't be carrying around all that guilt and all that shame. Leave it at the cross. You know, God won't bring that up again. We confess it, it's gone. You say, wait a minute, how can an all-powerful, almighty God forget? I kind of figure it works this way, that, you know, Satan is the accuser. He said, "Hey, remember John? Remember when he did that?" And God says, "No, I choose to forget. It's gone. I don't have to carry it around anymore." Second thing I want you to forget is the sufferings in the past. Can I tell you, we live in a world that stinks a lot. Bad things happen. I've had a lot of tragedy in my life. And it's so easy to get caught up in looking back. You know, throughout Israel's time in the wilderness, You know, they had loved ones die. They were hungry and thirsty. It was hard and it was difficult. But this was a new start. You know, the new American way sees me define yourself by being a victim. Woe is me, you know. My mom didn't give me enough cookies growing up. Or maybe there's bad things that maybe someone did to you. Or maybe there was hurt and pain along the way. Can I tell you something? If we just carry around all those things, we'll never go forward. Right? Press on. Press on. Once again, Isaiah reminds us, remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye know not? Ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Right? We want to be defined on that hamster wheel of expectations again. Oh, here we go again. I was caught in this trap. And we go around and around and around. God says, look, I want to do something new in your life. Well, I don't like new. It was amazing how many times we roll back to our own sin. We go back to what's comfortable. We'll go back to things that's not good for us because it's comfortable. Look, put things in the past. Leave the suffering behind, the hurt and the pain. And look to God. And God wants to do something new in your life. And oftentimes when God does something new, He does it in a new way. Maybe there's an answer that's going to come and not in a way you expect. Maybe God's going to work something different in your life. He's going to shake you up a little bit. Get you out of your comfort zone. Here, Israel is leaving the wilderness. I mean, they were in the wilderness for 40 years. Some of these ones, that's all they knew. You know, they could have just stayed there. But God had a new thing for them. Leave that suffering behind. Don't be defined by your pain. But find mercy and find grace and find love in the Lord. One more thing for you to forget. Forget the past and forget its stumbling blocks. The things that trip you up. It's funny, Israel, when they left Egypt, now think about this, this kind of blows my mind, which is kind of how we are. But Israel was slaves for over 400 years. Right? I mean, they were beat. They were abused. They were in slavery, had no freedom. And then they get out in the wilderness and they are out traveling and they're hungry. God has been providing manna for them every day, right? Now all you have to do is go out and pick this manna and you can eat it. You can do a lot of things with it. God's providing. And the people are like, you know, we're kind of sick of this stuff, God, you're giving us. And after a while, Israel started to murmur and complain. And look at what this brought them to. It says, we remember the fish which we ate freely in Egypt. I think it was the only freedom they had in Egypt. And the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. Oh, look at all the spicy food we had back in Egypt. Oh, we had it so good back then. What? They didn't have it good. But remember we talk about that dysfunction of what we remember and what we forget? Right? The things that trip us up, oftentimes the sin that catches on to us, which easily ensnares us, the scripture says. These things we keep going back to, right? These old habits, these old relationships, right? Our old dependencies, all these things that we keep going back to. What happens is we're going on and we get kind of scared because God's doing a new thing. And I'm like, oh, you know what? Maybe it was better the way I was. And you know it wasn't. Sin is never worth it. It might feel good for a while. It might feel comfortable for a while. But look at the consequences. Oh, I don't remember the consequences. But yeah, hello, yeah. Leave those things behind. Do something new. Do something fresh. Follow the Lord a little bit further along and see what He does. Paul wrote to the Philippians. And he wrote this. He goes, "Brethren, do not count myself as apprehended." Paul says, "Look, I'm not perfect. But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press towards the goal for the prize."